How you guys doing? You doing okay? It sounds like it. There's a roar coming from your direction. That's awesome, man. I'm excited to be here this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Dave Orweller. I'm on staff here with H2O, part of the city leadership team. I don't know how your week was this week, but I know how mine was. And so this morning, I picked up one of these, hopefully. Yeah. Dunkin' Donuts. And actually, that looks small. I got an extra large coffee. Do you know their slogan? America runs on Dunkin'? I don't know if that's true. That seems a little bold. But I do know this. I run on Dunkin'. Okay? At least the caffeine from Dunkin'. I needed it because this was a long week for me and for our family. This Monday through Thursday, we had our annual staff conference for the Collegiate Church Network. And, you know, they try to make it a thing that you can bring your family to and something that's just fun for the whole family. And so I've heard about that over the years, never brought Alyssa or our kids. But this year they're having it at Kalahari. Do you guys know what Kalahari is? It's this huge African safari-themed indoor water park. And we thought, you know what, this is the year, we should give it a shot. Let's have Alyssa come, let's have the kids come. So we brought the whole family, and this is a picture from us last week. That's us, yeah. So, you know, it was a lot of fun, and it was also exhausting, okay? Our youngest Luke, you put him in a wrap and do whatever you're going to do otherwise. He's just along for the ride, no big deal. Right? But Jake, not so much. Not so much. He loved it there, okay? Aside from this huge water park, which he's been in some small water parks before and enjoyed it, aside from that, there are miles and miles and miles of hallways in this conference center. And in the hallways are these statues of safari animals. And so there's this huge ape, and he wants to go see the ape, and he sees monkeys, and he sees all these animals that he can make the sounds of. And literally all week, he's just running around the halls as fast as he can. And so at one point, he comes up to this lion statue. It's this huge lion statue, and he roars. I was like, wow, yeah, that's good. And then he drops down all fours and just starts crawling in a circle around the lion, roaring. And I'm like, all right, I was actually on my way to go to one of the sessions, and we never made it past the lion. It was like, we're not going to move past this. He was crazed all week. He would just run and jumping around. And so why am I telling you all this? Well, okay, yes, it was a lot of fun, but it was exhausting. And a Jake who is crazed all day long is a Jake who's crazed all night long, too. It doesn't end. It doesn't stop. When you get him worked up, he gets really worked up. He loves life, and so he doesn't want to sleep through it. And so we're in this hotel, and it was hard for him to get some sleep. And, you know, we're all in the same room there. It was hard for all of us to get sleep, okay? And I had this recurring thought all week long, okay, when I was awake. I need coffee. I'm not going to make it. I need coffee. I need some help. I'm tired. Any of you guys coffee people? Yeah? Anybody else have that recurring theme in their life? Yes, I need coffee. Yes, absolutely. And you know what? Maybe for you, it's not the perfect coffee from Dunkin' Donuts that you crave. Maybe you guys are Starbucks people, right? Anybody Starbucks person out there? There's a few. Maybe you need the unicorn frappuccino. You guys heard about the unicorn frappuccino? Look at who wouldn't want to drink that, right? Did you notice? Don't raise your hands. No. Okay, did you notice the shadow there? It's not a cup. It's a unicorn. It's magical. Genius. Okay, so maybe your needs, maybe they're not in the caffeinated beverage world like mine are. That's where I live in and don't sleep, but that's where I live, that's my needs. But maybe your needs are somewhere else, right? Maybe the newest Apple product. Oh, you need that new iPhone. for whatever new thing it lets you do. Maybe it's some clothes or entertainment. We need that Netflix, right? Eating out. At some point, I think I've morphed all those things into my clearly that's a big need right now category for me. I think we've all done that if we're honest, right? Haven't we? Something that at one point was like, ooh, that's a special treat. It slowly morphs into, I need that thing. Okay, well, that's it, coffee for me. So why are we talking about this? Well, this morning, we're going to be wrapping up the sermon series, one that we've been on. This is the 16th week. We're wrapping it up today, okay? And we are wrapping it up by talking about chapter 16 and the idea of giving back to God's kingdom. And so we're going to talk a little bit about our needs, what our needs, what aren't needs, and all kinds of other stuff. But before we jump in, let's pray. God, thanks for today and just the opportunity for us to be here together as a church, as a family, to worship you and to learn and turn our attention to the area of giving. And we just pray you speak to us this morning. You help us see what's going on in our hearts when it comes to giving. And you'd help us to know how to apply what we're talking about, that we would honor you with how we live in this area of our life. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right. Well, last week, we talked about the resurrection of the dead. Jesus' resurrection. The resurrection is real. It really happened. Jesus really rose from the dead, and someday we will too. And if we really get that reality, it drastically changes our perspective on this life, doesn't it? It means there is so much more to this life than this life. It means this life is just a shadow of things to come, just a whisper, a breath. And how we see the world and our values, our priorities, our pursuits, they all change in light of the future. And it's a huge motivation for us to invest whatever we can in the work of the Lord, to give back to God's kingdom. Chapter 15 ended like this. Paul said, "Therefore, because the resurrection is real, because there's so much more than this life, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Underneath that is the truth that some work is in vain, right? Some investments of our time and energy and money are for nothing. They bring no lasting result, no lasting value. And Paul knew this, probably better than most, right? So he's coming to the Corinthians, and he's basically encouraging them here, make your work count. How? By abounding in the work of the Lord, investing in God's kingdom. Because that work and investment is never in vain. It lasts beyond this life. It has a bearing on eternity. It's abound in the work of the Lord. So what is the work of the Lord that we're supposed to be abounding in, right? Well, I think there's all kinds of things, all kinds of ways we could answer that question. We talk a lot about investing time in ministry and in building community and reaching out to others and loving people relationally. That's a great investment in God's kingdom. And we talk a lot about using our gifts to serve in the church. That's a great investment in God's kingdom. But today we're going to talk about giving financially. And there's two reasons. One, because that's actually what Paul talks about next. That's where he goes right away from the resurrection. There's more than this life. Let's give to help these people. But there's another reason. We thought it would be perfect for us to talk about that for our church right now, where we're at launching this city congregation, because it's something huge for us to talk about at this stage of the game, okay? But as we do that, the principles that we're going to talk about giving financially, they actually apply to all those other resources that you have to give, your time, your skills, your abilities, whatever God's given you, these principles will apply, okay? You guys okay? Ready to jump in? All right, well, we're gonna, so buckle up. Here we go. All right. "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Now concerning the collection for the saints, As I directed the churches in Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. Okay, so the Christians, the people who had become Christians in Jerusalem, had all kinds of things going on, causing it to be really difficult on them. They needed help. If Paul knew this, he's encouraging then the Corinthians to give, help these brothers in their need. And in this passage, he gives some clear principles for giving. I just want to go through those really quickly, okay? You ready? Here's some principles of giving back to God's kingdom. The first one is this: it's a command. The word translated directed is a strong word, okay? It is frequently translated command or order. So there's no ambiguity. Jesus calls his disciples to give. It's also meant to be a priority. You saw in there, it said, on the first day of every week. This was the first financial consideration. Giving back to the Lord and the work of the Lord, it's meant to have a priority in our lives. It's not meant to be something that we do with the leftovers. Giving back is for everyone, every follower of Jesus. Each of you, regardless of income or social status or anything else, 100% participation. Giving back is meant to be planned and purposeful, not just spontaneous, right? Put something aside and store it up. Giving back was a response to God's provision for each person. You see that in there? As he may prosper. God's not asking you to give what he hasn't given you to be able to give. Okay? But as he has given to you, we are to give back to him. Our giving matches God's giving to us. Okay? There you go. There's your principles on giving. Let's make it happen. You guys want to worship? We'll be done. Okay, so that's actually not all that helpful, is it? Those principles are helpful. They can be really great, and I think it's good for us to look at each one of those. But I think for us, information isn't really at the heart of the issue when it comes to giving, is it? Actually, our hearts are at the heart of giving. What's going on in our hearts when it comes to giving back to God is, I think, what we really want to focus on. So we're going to take some time this morning to look at what's going on in our hearts. We have questions about giving, don't we? Even after we said all that. Do we have questions? You guys have any questions? How about this one? How much do I need to give? I didn't say anything in there about how much. Well, let's try to find an answer to that. Some people would say we should tithe. We should give 10%. Tithing, it's a method of giving that God prescribed for the Israelites under the Mosaic Law. The word tithe literally just means a tenth or 10%. But when we look carefully at the Israelites and what they did, there were actually three different tithes. Okay, so they didn't just give 10%. They gave a yearly tithe that was to care for the temple, the priests, the Levites. They gave another yearly tithe to care for the poor. So we're up to 20% there. Then they gave a tithe every 3 years. So it actually worked out to be 23 1/3%. That's quick math. I was a math major in college. 23 1/3% tithing. Then, in addition to those tithes, they were encouraged to give offerings above and beyond what that was in response to God and his blessing in their life as a way to worship him and meet needs. Okay, but we're not the nation of Israel. We're not under the Mosaic Law anymore. So how much do we need to give? Well, Paul actually writes another letter to the Corinthians in the book of 2 Corinthians, and he talks more about giving there. And there he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. basically, there's freedom for each of us to decide how much to give back to God. We're just encouraged to give generously, give sacrificially, be involved in giving. Well, I don't know how you respond to that freedom, right? The idea of freedom, that's usually a good thing. But if you're like me, I don't like that in this realm. I get a little frustrated by this. Here's why. I want somebody to just tell me exactly how much I'm supposed to give back to God. Then I can just give that much, be done with it, not think about it, not worry about it. And if I'm brutally honest with you, I want to give exactly what God requires, and I don't want to give any more. That's why I want to know how much, right? That's what's going on in my heart if I'm just honest with you. That's why I want a number. But God doesn't give us an amount, and that can be a little bit frustrating. We feel a little insecure about what we choose to give. But I think maybe we just need to sit in that a little bit this morning and think about, what is that bringing up for us? Why does that bother us? You see, giving back to God's kingdom, it certainly helps build God's kingdom. It helps build the ministry of the church. It certainly helps to meet real needs of people around us. But it also forces us to look at our own hearts. And God is way more concerned about your heart than your gift. He's way more concerned about what's going on in your heart. I think that's why he tells us to give, and he doesn't tell us how much. And I think if we're honest, there are all kinds of heart-level questions that come up when we have to decide how much to give. I just want to talk about a few of these things that might come up when we're wrestling with how much do we do this. Okay, here's the first one. We're supposed to give as God has given to us in response to what God has given to us. So we have to answer the question, how much has God blessed me materially? And you know what? I think our tendency in our culture is to compare ourselves to the friends around us, our rich American friends, right? And when we do that, we look around and we're like, oh, well, look, Aziz, he's way more wealthy than I am. I'm not actually doing all that great. Maybe it's not Aziz. Maybe it's somebody else. I don't know. Who do you know to compare yourself to? But let me give you an example of this. That's a trap for us, I think, to compare ourselves to the people we know. What do you think it would take to be in the top 1% most wealthy people in the United States, annual income? Any guesses? $200,000. More than that. The top 1% in the United States. That's like pretty wealthy. Okay, I'll tell you how much. Good guesses. That's great. $434,682. Right down to the dollar, they know. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so, you know, I don't know everybody here. I know a lot of you here. And my guess is most of us, that's not us. We are not the wealthiest 1% of people in the United States. I'm just guessing. Okay? We're not that rich. Maybe we're still rich. We're not that rich. Okay, but if you change the question now, instead of the United States, to the world, what do you think you'd have to make in a year to be in the top 1% most wealthy people in the world? Drew guessed it right there. Damn. Pretty close. $32,000 a year to be in the top wealthiest 1% of people in the world. I'm guessing a lot more of us fit into that category. What does that reveal? When we look at the reality of the world, we are unbelievably wealthy. Even those of us who aren't so wealthy when we compare ourselves to our fellow Americans. Let me give you another example, okay? You remember my extra large coffee from Dunkin' Donuts? That because this was an extra hard week for me, I got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It was a problem. I admit that right away. Okay, well, that almost cost $2.50. It's an expensive, awesome coffee. It's worth every bit, maybe, okay? It turns out half of the people in the world live on less than that a day. When I buy my extra large coffee, I could also totally take care of somebody for a day if I could just send it and make it happen, right? We could go on and on like this, right? Comparing our wealth to the rest of the world. The thing for us to wrestle with is, does our attitude about our material wealth reflect reality? You feel like one of the wealthiest 1% of people in the world. So we have to answer that question. How much has God really blessed you? There's all kinds of other questions. Here's another one. What are my true needs? Talked about how I need coffee. I don't really need coffee. We live in a culture that says we need, we need, we need. Most of those needs aren't really needs. I wonder if we're willing to look at those honestly, to be honest with ourselves. I wonder if we'll ask the question, you know, what thing that's not a need in my life could I sacrifice to help meet a need in somebody else's life? Am I willing to make a personal sacrifice to care for somebody else who has less? There's other questions, right? Do I trust God to meet my needs? If I give today, wow, maybe I'll be in more need later, right? Do I trust that God's going to meet my needs? How about this? Are we looking to money, material things to make me or my family happy, right? I got to get a house in the best neighborhood because it has the best schools, because then my kids, they'll be all right. Then they'll be all right. Or they got to get in the best college. Whatever it is, there's all kinds of things we'll say, right? Because we're looking to those things to make our life okay or our loved ones' lives okay. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of these things. Just our attitude and our heart behind them. Okay, I don't mean this to be offensive. I struggle with this one all the time. How about this question? Was it my awesomeness that earned what I have, or God's generosity? At the end of the day, who do I attribute this wealth to? I worked hard, I earned it. Is it that? Or is it God has unbelievably blessed you? Which is it? We got to wrestle with that in our hearts. We got to wrestle with our attitude. Are we going to be thankful for what we have? Are we going to be prideful about what we have? Are we going to be content with what we have? That's just a few questions, right? When we start to wrestle with how much should I give, there's no certain amount attached, so I guess I have to wrestle with, man, how much has God blessed me? I think when we honestly do it, doesn't that reveal all kinds of junk in our lives? I don't want to speak for you. Maybe not. For me, it certainly does. Greed, fear, lack of faith, lack of honesty. I lie to myself. Control issues, selfishness, laziness. What does it reveal to you when you look at your own life, when you decide how much should I give back to God? And you know, this isn't really a surprise, is it? When you think about it, we know that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. We know that. We've all heard that phrase. We live in a culture that has money, that loves money, that idolizes money and what it can bring us. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Money is an idol. Maybe it's the idol for us. What do you see in your heart when you're stretched? When you're stretched to give? Somebody says, give and give generously. Give as if God's given to you. What do you see in your heart when it comes up? All right, so what do we do with this, right? What do we do with this today? I'm going to just give you three things. Here's the first thing. We got to just answer this. How are we investing what God has given us? Everything we have has been given to us, entrusted to us for a time. How are we investing that? Are we investing in things that really matter and that really last? When I was young and single, I hated making meals. I couldn't make much. I'm not very creative. So I ate out all the time, and at some point I didn't have a real grasp on my money, what was coming in, what was going out. So I sat down and looked back, and I put it all in there and added it up, and I came to a realization with what, because I was like, what am I doing with my money? I'm not saving money. What's the problem? And I looked, and I realized I am eating my money. I'm eating it all. I'm spending way too much money eating out. Because I was lazy and I didn't even know. I was not investing in something that mattered or that lasts. It was gone. In fact, it has some lasting negative impacts on my health. You can only eat Wendy's so much. Is giving back to God's kingdom a priority for you? Is it something that happens as a first consideration? I think we're really tempted to say, well, this is a need, I gotta do this, and we gotta do this, and we gotta save up for retirement, we gotta do this. And then, here, we got this little bit, let's give something. I know giving's good, we should give something. We give out of what's left over. The average American gives 2.5% of what they make to the church, the average Christian in America, 2.5%, close to that. Are we giving first or out of the leftovers? Here's the second thing. Are you engaging with the Lord about how much to give? If we're honestly seeking to invest the way that God would have us invest, at the very least, that's going to require an occasional prayer conversation with God where we honestly ask Him, what would you have me give? Should I change how much I'm giving? When was the last time that you had a conversation with God about that? Maybe you need to do that again now, freshly. If that's you, you're with me. I need to take a look. It's been a while. Because what I just want to say, okay, I'll get this percent and get it going and leave it, not even worry about it. It's time to look back. Okay, so how much should you give? I don't know. Maybe the question is, how much has God blessed you? Give in accordance to that. Just to give you an idea, as a church, we want to challenge everyone who calls H2O their home church to consider tithing or giving 10% to H2O Church as a realistic starting point. Some of you could give a lot more. Some of you might choose to give less. We think in this setting, in this culture, 10% is a reasonable starting point. It's not a rule. You got to decide in your own heart, right? See, guys, we're in a tricky position, right, when we teach you about giving, because we don't want you to give out of pressure. We don't want to pressure you. We don't want you to give out of guilt, anything like that. Churches realize that, and they're like, oh, maybe we just won't even mention it. We don't want to seem like that's what we're all about. We're not all about that. We want you to go to God and wrestle with Him. How much would He have you give? Let Him speak to you about that. Decide in your heart, and then do that. But at the same time, we do want to challenge you to give and to give sacrificially and to give generously and to give as if you were one of the top 1% most wealthy people in the world. And we want to challenge you to invest in something that really matters, something that lasts beyond this life, that will last after you die. We don't apologize for challenging you to consider that. We think it's good. So I hope you don't feel coerced or guilted, but at the same time, I hope you feel challenged and exhorted. You can let me know if I missed the mark, okay? I'd love to hear that. That's possible. So who should you give to? I don't know. Where is God leading you to invest? What has God placed on your heart? Where are you knit into a body of believers where you have some sense of ownership of the ministry that's going on there? We want to challenge you to tithe to the local church and then to give to other people and ministries in addition to that. We love other people and other ministries. We love the local church. We love church planting. We want to challenge you to do that. Let me put this in a little bit of context for us. We're in the process of planting H2O City, this congregation. We just launched last November, if you don't know that. We're brand new. Our dream is that we would become a self-sustaining congregation, meaning that us, we'd come together and we would give, and that giving would cover the ministries of H2O City and would cover the staff of H2O City. We believe that's a sign of a healthy local church. We still have a long way to go toward that goal. Right now, myself, Kyle, Aziz, we're almost entirely supported by individuals and churches outside of H2O. Catherine, we hired her to direct the H2O kids. All that money has come from people outside of H2O. And that's happening because people are excited about helping this congregation get started. And that's a normal part of what it looks like to plant a congregation. That's awesome. But as time goes on, the expectation is we're going to begin to meet our own needs. We have the means. And so we want to challenge you, if H2O is your home church, would you shoot to begin tithing to H2O? We just want to ask you to consider that. Not because it's a command in terms of the amount. We think as we come together, we'll grow up into a healthy church as we do that. We believe we will. We're excited about that. We wonder if maybe now is the time to take the next step for us. Okay, here's the final thing. What heart stuff is God bringing up for you when we talk about this? We talk about deciding how much to give. Take that to Him. Pray about it. Try to discern what's coming up. Why is that coming up? Talk to somebody else who can help you see more clearly what's going on. Let's engage with Him about this, because we have an amazing opportunity as the top 1% most wealthy people in the world that God has entrusted to us. We can invest that in God's kingdom. What an awesome opportunity. The way we do that can bring honor to God and help God's kingdom advance. What an awesome opportunity we have. Let me just end with this, okay? Therefore, H2O, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Let's pray. God, thanks for today and just the opportunity for us to look into this topic of giving. And I thank you, man, God, we are so blessed. And I thank you for that. I pray you'd help us to see that clearly, that we live in light of the reality of how much you've blessed us, God, and that the way we give back to you would be honoring to you, would worship you. It would meet the needs of this local church, and it would spill out onto the campus of Ohio State and into the city, and we'd be meeting needs, and people would come to know you. What an awesome opportunity we have with what we've been given, God. I pray that we'd honor you, I pray you'd speak to each one of us. I pray you'd give us grace. God, that you wouldn't help people to feel guilty or coerced or pressured, but you'd help us in our hearts to, out of love and worship for you, willingly and gladly give back to you. I tell you, we love you. We pray this in your name. Amen.